Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we are jumping right into it here on this Monday morning. We, as I mentioned at the close of the show on Friday, we need to talk about the Flathead Lake water levels, and we're going to do that here on this Monday. Kicking things off, joining us live from Whitefish, from the Flathead Valley, Montana Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke. Before we get to the lake levels, I know you're a Navy veteran, but what about the 250th birthday for the great United States Army and the parade in Washington, D.C.? Congressman, great to have you.
Well, I got to hand it to the Army. They know how to run a parade. You know, for those who watched it, I was in and out watching it. A great parade success. Yeah, protests were mild, but glad to see it go off without a hitch. It looked a lot of fun. For me, I made my way to Montana and did the honeydew list. I hadn't been back in a while and had a little lawn to mow and other things, but great parade. You know, the background, of course, too, was the Israeli-Iran. And look, Israel had to do what they got to do. Iran was quickly weaponizing. They do have enough enriched material. You know, thank you, Obama. Terrible deal. You know, and one should realize too is, you know, why, I hear this, why are we involved? They targeted our president. So they tried to assassinate him twice through, you know, that's the common sources now. And look, you know, it was Father's Day over the weekend. And as you know, you served. There are a lot of fathers that didn't make it back as a result of Iran. Iran was funding the counter coalition forces in Iraq. They funded Hezbollah. They funded Hamas. They funded Houthis. They're the source of the evil. And look, they have said that they would annihilate, destroy Israel. It got to that tipping point, and Israel had to move.
Yeah, it's. I've got some audio from Ted Cruz talking about why this theocratic, I mean, you could almost say suicidal regime in Tehran, why they absolutely must not be allowed to get a nuclear weapon. I mean, this is such a critical moment, really, in world history, frankly.
Well, it is, and there is no doubt that, again, the head of the snake is Iran. And for those listeners out there, the Ayatollah Khamenei, this is a quote, that virgins in custody should be raped before murdered so they don't go to heaven. You can't make that up. This regime is evil, and if they have a nuclear bomb, they're going to use it. They've said over and over and over, death to America, destruction of Israel. Look, they can't have a nuclear weapon. President Trump has made that crystal clear that they won't be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. And Israel is targeting military targets, while the other side is targeting civilians. So there you have it.
On a lighter note, I got a kick out of some of our Marine Corps veteran friends talking about the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army. They said, "Happy birthday to the U.S. Army from your younger, better-looking siblings." That's what the Marines had to say over the weekend. I got a bit of a kick out of that one. All right, more to follow with Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke. We're going to talk about the lake levels at Flathead Lake and much more. Yeah, he's joining us live, so stand by. We'll come back to him right after this opening news and weather break of the morning.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, look for partly sunny skies, with scattered strong to severe storms possible later into the day. High temperatures reaching the upper 70s to lower 80s. Then for tonight, still that chance for some stronger storms, especially this evening, with lows dropping back to around 50 degrees for Bozeman. Closer to the mid-50s, though, for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The big, beautiful bill became the big, throbbing migraine for congressional Republicans. That's thanks to the big, ugly brawl between President Trump and Elon Musk. It started with a hang-up between congressional Republicans and Musk over the big, beautiful bill. Musk characterized it as a disgusting abomination. He then turned on all 215 House Republicans who voted yes on the bill last month. The Congressional Budget Office analysis of the big, beautiful bill found that it adds $2.3 trillion to the deficit over a decade. But Republicans say those figures are wrong. The CBO also issued an analysis specific to President Trump's tariffs. The CBO projects a $3 trillion decrease in deficits over the next decade because of the tariffs. The CBO cannot evaluate the tariffs under the Big Beautiful Bill because, well, they're not part of the legislation. But proponents of the Big Beautiful Bill say that measure, coupled with the tariffs, decreases deficits by $500 billion over the next decade. Republicans believe the CBO estimate about the deficit is what set off Elon Musk. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this came in just before we wrapped up Friday's Montana Talks. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke urging the Secretary of the Interior to address Flathead Lake levels. We're going to have to talk about that story and more on Monday's Montana Talks. Plus, who knows what else is going to take place in the meantime. So we'll have phone lines open for you and much more. Montana Talks Monday, taking you statewide from 9 to 10 a.m. right here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk every Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. statewide.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Crazy on display for the far left so-called No Kings protests in Montana. I've got some photos and a roll-up thanks to Roy McKenzie with Western MT News. Check that out at MontanaTalks.com. We'll talk about that more here in just a few minutes. But yeah, let's start with the Flathead Lake levels. Congressman Zinke, we saw this during the Biden regime. They deliberately were letting the Flathead Lake levels go to really bad levels, frankly. And then they just wanted to blame it all on climate change. And then you jumped in and made some things happen. But now you're jumping early. You know, we've got drought. We had low snowpack. So talk about what you were able to get done for Flathead Lake.
Well, you know, I'm a son of a plumber, three generations, and it's really a matter of you have the Flathead Lake, which is the bathtub, using that analogy. You have the faucet, which is Hungry Horse Dam, and that draining system, and then you have the drain, which is the dam. And they've used different flow models, but a couple things. One is we need better technology, and technology is available. We know how much snowpack, we know how much moisture is in that basin. So we need to, on basis on that moisture and calculation, then you control the flow. It's really simple. You keep it full pool at June 15th, and you keep it full pool till September 15th. Of course, on the downside, you have the dam, and that's they use that for power, and they generate electricity and income. That's fair. On the upper side, you have Hungry Horse Dam and release. It's inexcusable, and I've heard this. Well, you know, the snow melts. We have all these things. No, it's inexcusable that you can't use science, best science, to keep the lake full. And there's different tensions. There's electricity. There's power generation. There's downstream interests, which are the fisheries and one of the folks downstream for minimum flows. There's upstream tension. If you wait too long, then you're going to blow the fish out on the upper part. So, guys, use better management. The Secretary of Interior, now Doug Burgum, requested that they close the flow off down to minimum, which the tribe is doing. Thank you very, very much. And open the dam up early so they can maintain flows. But it's a matter of just easy plumbing to keep that lake full, to make sure that people recreate and enjoy the summer and the Great Flathead Lake as we should. Keep it full pool from June 15th to 15th of September. Everyone's happy. It can be done. It should be done. And it must be done. And then there you have it, Aaron.
Yeah, I saw a write-up from the Flathead Beacon that you had shared on Facebook, thanks to an agreement between the Interior Secretary, Doug Burgum, and the CSKT. The dam will reduce flows by 45% and keep the lake within 12 inches of full pool, preventing the catastrophic prediction of 3 feet below full pool. I appreciate the tribe and the administration hearing our concerns. Yeah, I got a bunch of emails. I mentioned it on the show Friday and then got a bunch of emails over the weekend for folks saying, yes, please address this topic of the Flathead lake levels. Because, look, this is why we manage water in the entire Pacific Northwest. This is why these dams were built, so that we could manage the resource.
Well, and dams are more than power. Dams are flood mitigation. They're transportation. You know, but when you bring it down below pool, you know, a lot of people's docks, and there's a lot of businesses that count on the summer for their primary income. And you know, there's a lot of obstacles out there in the lake when it gets too low. You know, you're used to scooting along the lake, no problem. But all of a sudden, you got rocks and stuff to show up. It's a danger. So, you know, again, it's a plumbing problem. I am grateful for the tribe to recognize it and bring it down to minimum. Thank you, Doug Burgum, the Interior Secretary. And now it's increased flows up at the Hungry Horse Reservoir. And they're down, you know, a little, but in my lifetime, I've seen them down 100 feet. So there's plenty of water in there. But, again, let's use best science and get ahead of the curve every year. We know how much snowpack was. It's around 80% this year. Wasn't the best. Wasn't the worst by far. Hopefully we'll get some rain in there and everyone's happy. But, you know, in the summer, a lot of the businesses, that's where they make their money. In the summer, they got a lot of investment in there for the marinas, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, people like fishing, you know, both on the upper and lower Flathead, and they like floating. But there's plenty of water if we manage it, and it's about managing resources, you know, no different than managing a forest. You know, we don't really like these catastrophic fires because it's a lack of managing our forests. Get rid of the dead and dying timber, get it on early, get a spot fire, do prescribed burns late in the season so it doesn't get out of hand. It's a management issue which we all should support.
Yeah, and I remember, what was it, last summer or the summer, maybe it was the summer before when, you know, another dry year. And like right now, you know, you've got south central Montana, got a lot of snow. The Beartooth did well with snow, and the Billings area did good with rain and moisture and things like that. But then northeast Montana is still getting hit really hard with drought. In northwest Montana, wasn't getting the snowpack they wanted. And so, but I remember, what was it, a couple years ago, and the Democrats, some of them on the Montana Politics hashtag on Twitter were like, oh, who cares about Flathead Lake? Just let the water spill out. And it's like, my goodness, these people are so out of touch. Speaking of being out of touch, what about the so-called No Kings protests by the radical left over the weekend? Congressman Zinke is going to stick with us here for more coming up right after the Farm and Ranch Report. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montana isn't a big company state, yet we do have important businesses in our midst. Depending on where you live, you might be familiar with some. Conglomerates like Washington Corp, banks like First Interstate or Glacier, energy and mining companies, or even Northwestern Energy. Here's one that may have escaped your attention, Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. The tribe is many things, but one of the things that's left off the list for many of us is the fact that it's a thriving business, or more accurately, the owner and operator of a range of businesses. There are businesses in manufacturing, power generation, finance, technology, and recreation. Some of those, such as S&K Technologies, have substantial footprints outside the region. Oh yes, CSKT is also a government, with schools, administrative departments, and road and law enforcement employees. Montana's seven other tribes also have substantial business activities, but none match the breadth and scope of Salish and Kootenai businesses that hide from many of us in plain sight. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
The Army is celebrating its 250th birthday, and the recent first-of-its-kind parade in Washington gave those who served and have served our country a chance to show their Army pride. Todd Parson is an Army vet.
After all the sacrifices and the struggles and that everybody's going through right now, it's great to have a parade to recognize the heroes of our country.
He added that the military is about more than just being a fighting force.
It's about preserving what our country's about, freedom.
Army vet Priscilla McKelveen enjoyed sharing the experience with those who have also served.
I wanted to see all of my brothers and sisters out here in real time, the young, the old. This is great.
Even members of other branches came to wish the Army a happy birthday. Holly is an Air Force vet.
It's really exciting to see the turnout and the patriotism.
Kevin Ruskin, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, rural America is certainly facing a severe shortage of large animal veterinarians. And during the recent Wyoming Cattle Industry Convention in Laramie, I talked with Dr. Chelsea Krogan from Cheyenne about why it's important to get more people interested once again in becoming a large animal veterinarian.
I mean, we have a lot of livestock and people in need that aren't servicing medical care for their animals, of course, but it's also a public service and public health issue. There's, you know, communicable diseases between our livestock species and humans, and veterinarians are on the front line of identifying and managing those, you know, outbreaks and things like that.
She explains some of the reasons behind the shortage.
I've always thought of it as a multifactorial problem, because it is. Student loan debt is a major problem in that. Finding opportunities, mentorship after school is a very big problem. Going to these rural places, sometimes you're solo. The work-life balance thereof, so you're on call 24/7, and not having, you know, that balance in life is very draining on a lot of veterinary students. So multiple reasons that has happened. So the solution is multiple ways that we have to look at it and address it, not just one way, but student loan is probably the biggest factor.
And she says that some states do offer interested veterinary students a little bit of financial help, and that she's hoping others will follow suit.
So 27 states now have programs through the state themselves. We also, of course, have a national program, but 27 states have made programs to help incentivize the rural veterinary shortage in helping with student loan repayments and placement and things like that. Quite a few have recently come online, but quite a few have been going on and have had very good success.
Now, this will just be one of the many topics covered at the upcoming Wyoming Veterinary Medical Association summer meeting headed for Dubois, June 22nd through the 24th. For more information and to get registered, you can visit their website. By the way, Dr. Chelsea Krogan is their incoming president. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Raising quality, nutrient-dense cattle starts with healthy soil. At Reminis Ranch, our Angus beef are raised on pasture-grown with in-soil algae while improving our soil's health and forage quality. Increased nutrients in our pasture without chemical fertilizer means better quality beef that delivers the nutrition we all need to be healthier. In-soil algae has improved our cattle's weight and conception rates and reduced their mineral intake while improving their feed efficiency. Reminis Ranch and in-soil algae, healthy soils for better beef and healthier people.
Attention landowners, the Conservation Reserve Program is now open. CRP is a great option for those hard-to-farm acres. In fact, CRP improves soil, water, and wildlife habitat. It also safeguards against risky weather and catastrophic wildfire. All that adds up to a better bottom line for your farm or ranch. The CRP sign-up is going on now. Find a local Pheasants Forever biologist at pheasantsforever.org/CRP or visit your local USDA service center. Farm the best, CRP the rest.
Well, in a huge win for agriculture, last week President Trump ordered heads of the Army Corps of Engineers along with the Energy, Interior, and Commerce departments to pull out of Biden-era agreements intended to halt litigation over salmon declines in the Columbia and Snake River systems. That's a look at your Daybreak Ag Report. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that was the other big news update there. Thanks for Russell Nimitz for the reminder there in the Ag Report and the Farm and Ranch Report. You know, we heard a lot about this topic from our friends with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. The Biden regime was trying to tear out these hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest. You know, we talk about some Democrats not standing up for Flathead Lake, as Congressman Ryan Zinke, just announced this big deal to keep the lake, in a much better position here heading into the height of the summer tourist season. You know, it's just another reminder that the Democrats want to tear down some of these hydropower dams. And yet the Trump administration now just finally put the kibosh on that nonsense on the Snake River dams. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts on that one?
Well, look, dams are more than electricity. Dams are flood control, they're transportation. And the Flathead primarily gets all the electricity through, Flathead Co-op, which gets us from the dams. I am absolutely 100% opposed to taking down the dams in the Snake River and the Columbia River Basin. They were put there for a purpose. Again, it's more than just electricity. It is flood control, it is drought control, transportation. That whole system is enormously important for transportation. And these knuckleheads that want to take down the dams in pursuit of a small salmon population, and they spent billions and billions of dollars mitigating salmon. If they focus on salmon fisheries and hatcheries, and making sure they manage the salmon population and not take down the dams, they'd be better off. But I'm 100% opposed to it. It was a backdoor deal without public comment from the Biden administration. Trump did the right thing and voided it. And he did the right thing in voiding this nuclear deal. This nuclear deal is exactly why we are here, because it allowed Iran, by the way, to enrich uranium. It allowed Iran to develop missiles without any prohibition. So now they got ballistic missiles, not too far from intercontinental ballistic missiles, because this Iranian deal that Obama put together, supported by Biden, was a bad deal for Israel, a bad deal for America, and a bad deal for the world.
Let's go to these far-left No Kings, so-called No Kings protests that were across Montana over the weekend here as well. You know, I saw a car. I was picking up my daughter from the swimming pool with her friends on Saturday, and we drove past a car that had, covering the back window, F Trump, F ICE. And looking at the coverage out of Missoula and some of these others, this was just a "we hate Trump, we don't want the criminal illegal aliens deported" rally is what these far left Democrats were rallying against on Saturday.
You know, I appreciate everyone's right to protest and do it without violence. You know, freedom of expression, that's one of the paramount pillars of the Constitution. But what are they protesting? They're protesting ICE. What I see is a lot of Mexican flags. So you're protesting for illegal immigration. Is that what you're protesting for? You're protesting for, as ICE does their legal duty, that you're protesting law enforcement to do their legal duty to remove illegal aliens? And they're not going after, look who they're going after in L.A. They're going after hardened criminals. Sex traffickers, child traffickers, drug traffickers, and you're protesting removal of those elements? I don't get it. Now, if you want to protest and say that Trump's a king, you know, I would refer to the election. He's not a king. He's president, and he's your president.
That's right.
But having said that, you know, if you want to protest, if you want to do it peacefully, double thumbs up with me, express your opinion.
Go bang your drum.
I get abused. I get opinion a lot.
Yeah, you know, they just look crazy. I mean, banging their drums, they looked crazy. I've got a video out of Bozeman that I'll talk about here later this morning. But in Missoula, they had F MAGA, F Trump. They had their rainbow flags, their trans flags, their upside down flags. I mean, and then, of course, the Mexican flags, too. And then they had 8647 on several of these posters, which, of course, is a reminder of the disgraced former FBI director, James Comey, who basically, you know, basically alluded that he wanted somebody to take out President Donald J. Trump. Hey, let me sneak in a quick phone call here, if you don't mind. Congressman Zinke, how much more time you got with us? I know you're driving across town.
I can go till almost the top of the hour.
Hey,
I'm actually in a car driving to Kalispell. This is, but I'm not driving.
Perfect.
You know, safety first.
Yeah, that's well. Or you could be on Bluetooth too. No, that's what a beautiful drive. What a beautiful drive. I can see the ski runs right behind you right now as you drive south. Okay, well, let's sneak on a call here. 406-294-0970. We've got Ken in Billings first up here. Oh, wait a minute. What phone line is he on? He must be on line two. Okay. All right. There we go. Ken, yeah, what's on your mind? Did you have a quick question or comment?
So on the Rimrock Lake update, Forest Service is going to put that in the end of September, but I would ask that we use our someone from the federal delegation, if necessary, have Trump issue an executive order rescinding any wilderness provisions that would allow the Army Corps of Engineers or a detail from the National Guard to put in a temporary bridge across there this week and to facilitate the so that beaten path could be used, because for the hikers in the south central part of Montana, that beaten path is as important as Interstate 90 is to the state of Montana or Flathead is to the northwest part of Montana.
Yeah, and this is the lake, and obviously Congressman Zinke now represents the Western District. This is technically in the Eastern Congressional District, but hey, it was good for Montana. It's good for Montana, both sides of the state. Yeah, Congressman Zinke, really this comes down to getting that infrastructure rebuilt that was ripped out by the floods a few years ago. We've now had a second hiker go missing after falling in where the bridge fell out.
Well, you know, and I had the honor of representing all Montana when Montana had one, and believe me, what's good for Montana is good for the West and good for the East. So I don't really look at the dotted line, and Troy and I, you know, speak, you know, almost on a daily basis. But look, you know, Montana across the board has older, aging infrastructure. So I said in appropriations is I'm particularly concerned about the replacing these bridges, like in Knoxon. We don't have a sewer system in Sealy Lake. So Sealy Lake doesn't even have a car wash because they don't have a sewer system. And a lot of our bridges, older roads, water infrastructure, we need to address it. You know, and because we have a proposed wilderness and all of a sudden there's fences and obstacles, no. Is that we need to get in there and make sure these older systems are maintained, improved in a lot of cases.
And get the job done. You know, hold that
get
thought.
Get the job done.
Yeah, hold that thought. We got to take another quick break here. We'll come back with the Congressman next.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what a great point. What a great phone call there from Ken. Ken in Billings, yeah, I mean, that the flooding impacts from a few years ago when we had the massive floods along the Beartooth all the way over to Gardner and Paradise Valley, et cetera, yeah, it wiped out a lot of the trail infrastructure, the bridge infrastructure, and so a bridge over the creek right there as that exits Rimrock Lake, you know, tragically lost a young college student hiker last year, and then now another young hiker lost again trying to cross a log
over the water and fell in and disappeared, and the search is still ongoing. Yeah, it's just tragic. And again, like, his point is, like, what is with all the bureaucratic red tape? Get something put in place. Do something temporary if you have to while you're waiting on the, you know, the permanent replacement. On a good news front, I did see that the bridge over Woodbine Falls has now been replaced. So that's a popular hike along the Beartooth Front as well. In fact, my wife and I did that hike last summer. And so, so that's a good news update there. Let's sneak in another caller here as we chat live with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke here in the early morning hours of the show. Tim in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Morning, gentlemen. Just a Kent point real quick. It's funny how the highway to Jackson Hole gets repaired in 22 days with all the influential jackholes that live in that town, and we can't even get a bridge repaired after 3 years. But the thing I was really calling about is paid protesters. You know, I saw there was a gentleman, I use that term loosely, gentleman, that struck one of the horses that one of the law enforcement agents was riding, and then another agent came and shoved him, and he fell. And that guy had a striking resemblance to the man who beat a drum in the face of a kid from Covington High School several years ago. And I'm sure that's the kind of response he was looking for when he was beating his drum in that kid's face. He wanted to get pushed down so he could make a spectacle of himself. And these people are paid protesters. There's operations like this quote-unquote company called Rise and Resist, and they pay these people to go out and protest. And if you go to Rise and Resist and you go to their website and you see how to donate to them, it's a link to Act Blue, which is the fundraising arm of the Democratic Party. I mean, let's get the money out of this stuff. If people want to protest peacefully, whatever, they shouldn't be getting paid to do it. It's just such a joke. It's all theater. And they kind of deserve to get a thump on the melon, if you ask me.
Well, and how many of these, especially if they're, you know, fighting with law enforcement, et cetera, and getting in their faces, yeah, you're going to get pushed back. Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. Kim Strassel in the Wall Street Journal had a great report. I've got some audio I can share later where she highlights the professional protest class and how so many of these people are being paid, how it's all being orchestrated, not just by these far-left groups, but by organizations that receive taxpayer dollars that are then giving money to these anti-Trump protests. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts?
Well, you also have members of Congress, like Maxine Waters, who has said, you know, protest, get in their face, harass. You have a member of Congress now that is indicted for assaulting an ICE official in New Jersey. They push it down. So, you know, a lot of it is leadership too. You know, I'm glad to see a lot of my Democratic friends, which I do have Democratic friends, you know, are saying, you know, Jill, look, you know, you can protest, great, but let's get the violence out of it and don't lay your hand or throw a rock or a Molotov cocktail. I mean, this is nuts, and it's un-American, and especially when you have again, what's the core of the protest? You don't like President Trump? Okay. So you're gonna protest against ICE, against removing criminal elements, illegal aliens from this country? I mean, you want to look at the election? The election was largely about immigration, largely about that America, we're not in a position to accept a borderless country where you have drug traffickers, child traffickers, fentanyl. You got the fentanyl crisis in Bozeman. You had guys from Venezuela on the edge of the street. You know, harassing business owners, and that's for real. A lot of that is not being attended to because, look, we're a country of laws. Again, you know, protest peacefully, great. Express your opinion. You want to support whatever you want to support. That's the Constitution. I am absolutely for it, and I fought for it. You know, as a veteran, and so did you, Aaron. You know, you fought for people's rights to do that.
That's right.
But there's lines. And the line, when you start attacking law enforcement officials and you start interfering with their law-abiding duty, you know, that's a line, that red line. If you do that, you're going to get arrested, and you should.
Well, and we saw rioters. The Daily Caller has the report. Rioters stormed an ICE building in Oregon, injuring federal law enforcement officers there. You had a bunch of people in New York City arrested. We also had illegal aliens escaping from an ICE detention facility. Now there's a manhunt. Now there's a manhunt underway at that ICE detention facility in New Jersey. And then that Senator Padilla from California, I mean, for him to just, try to bum rush the Homeland Security Secretary and then fight with her security detail, Secret Service, FBI, others that were there, and then to play the victim card, I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I know the good senator from California. He's a senator. You're an example of conduct, and when you're the not only you're not the example, you're the counterexample of it. Of trying to do a media stunt and rush. Look, if he's going to be at the press conference, it was closed. It's easy, He's got a whole staff. I'll be at the press conference. I'll be polite. I'll ask my questions. You don't have to agree with her. But you got, ask your question, but you don't bum rush the stage. You don't have your badge, don't have your staff with you, et cetera, et cetera. I think it was a media stunt, and unfortunately for him, it didn't work out nicely. And look, I've been a secretary. I've had death threats myself, my family, my dog, all have had death threats. And look, in this environment, we just had, two politicians get shot in their home, and what a tragedy. You had Steve Scalise, good friend of mine, get shot and almost killed on a baseball field. So you got to take these threats seriously. And he was out of line. He should apologize. We'll see whether he does or not. But again, if you look at your leadership, the leadership needs to, ask everyone to chill. Protest, your heart out, but let's do it in a professional, being professional. Your conduct shouldn't be violent. You shouldn't be having signs with profanity. What are the kids? You got kids out there. Is that really what we're trying to promote for our children?
I don't think it helps them. I don't think all the profanity and all the, F ICE, defund ICE, I think it just further hurts the Democrats. I mean, it's Kim Strassel, that's what she pointed out. They've been doing this for 10 years now. They had the pink you-know-what hats. Nancy in Roundup sent us a message. Imagine throwing a No King's Day protest after your party refused to hold a primary, anointed Kamala without a single vote, and attempted to remove Trump from state ballots only after your illegal lawfare scheme failed. That was a tweet by Kerry Smith. But, I mean, that nails it.
What? I got to tell you, Kerry was right on the mark. That's the best tweet I've heard, actually. And it's so ironic, so hypocritical. You're right. I mean, they had, without a primary, et cetera, remove them. And the government was spying on Trump three times. Remember, they spied on him on the Russian collusion, which was a hoax. They spied on him on the Ukrainian obstruction to justice. That was a hoax. And they spied on him at his residency in Mar-a-Lago. This is the government inside trying to topple a Democratic elected president. He's not a king. He's Donald J. Trump, and he's your president, and that's, our country has decided.
That's right. About a minute to go here, Congressman Zinke. One good news story that ended up kind of getting buried amidst all the other crazy news last week. Not only did the House pass the one big beautiful bill, but you got the first of hopeful several rescissions packages across the finish line to cut back on federal overspending. So about $10 billion sounds like a good start.
That is a good start. In rescissions, the Chevron decision, which is, Congress, while we pass the bills, they're also the intent of Congress. So, I sit in Congress, and I can tell you it wasn't the intent of Congress to fund transgender clinics in India. And then the list goes on and on and on. So you look at these rescissions, and they're outside of the intent of Congress. They're wasteful, they're fraud, they're abuse. and our taxpayers shouldn't be going, to these nefarious, things. So, I'm all about resilience. We have to be careful that we fall within congressional intent. Let's not use it as policy, because when Congress passes a law and funds things within our intent, the president, the executive branch's responsibility to execute those policies.
We got to hold it there, Congressman Zinke. Yeah, thanks for your time this morning.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
What is so amazing about the Israelis is that, look at what they've been able to do to knock out the top leadership of Hamas and Hezbollah and all these other proxy groups. And now they're decapitating the head of the snake, which is Iran. And there is no ambiguity here. We know who's fomenting the terror. I believe people when they say they want to wipe you off the face of the earth. They took out Nasrallah. They took out the top six leaders of Hamas, the top leaders of Hezbollah. And they're not going to stop. Iran's top nuclear scientist killed by these Israeli airstrikes.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Crime continues to go up. Violence is happening in small towns and big cities all around the country. That means that you need something on you at all times. Now, Byrna, BYRNA, they want you to conceal everywhere you go, and that's why they made their brand new compact launcher, touted as the world's smallest, less lethal pistol launcher. Now, it's the same size as a smartphone with the firepower that you will need to stop an attacker right in their tracks. Now, it's equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition. It's designed to incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. Now, the compact launcher is perfect for women that want protection but don't want to carry a firearm. And if you're traveling this summer, well, Byrna is legal in all 50 states. Byrna requires no background check. It can be shipped directly to your door. And Byrna is proudly American. Each unit hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Go to Byrna, BYRNA.com today. Or try, before you buy, find a Byrna dealer partner near you. That's BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, look for partly sunny skies with scattered strong to severe storms possible later into the day. High temperatures reaching the upper 70s to lower 80s. Then for tonight, still that chance for some stronger storms, especially this evening, with lows dropping back to around 50 degrees for Bozeman. Closer to the mid-50s, though, for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, you guys have got to watch this trailer for The Real Yellowstone, a film that's coming out soon. It highlights the real ranchers of Montana and the battles they face to hold on to their land. Tom Opry is an outdoor filmmaker based in Montana's Flathead Valley. You got to check out this trailer. I think they're going to have a big premiere coming up in Bozeman very soon. Featured front and center is this battle with the APR to kick the ranchers off the land. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com, the trailer and more.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so many great reactions. So I posted a story on our Montana Talks website. And then not only does that story go on our Montana Talks website, it goes on our KBUL radio station website for Billings, KMMS for Bozeman, KXTL for Butte. And then some of our other stations can pick up the coverage as well. So our friends at Cat Country on their, Billings radio station, they'll pick up some of the coverage as well. I just got a kick out of reading the comments. I shared this No Kings protest coverage on our Montana Talks website, and I shared it at facebook.com/Flint Report. It's on the Cat Country Facebook page as well. And the comments are just classic. And some of these comments also came from a story that Tracy put together, where she had a bunch of photos from the protests in Billings, and then I shared a bunch of photos from the protest in Missoula that Roy McKenzie with Western Montana News had compiled. You look at this stuff, and these people are so absurd. No kings. These people think judges get to be kings. These people think that some bureaucrat in some government agency can be a king. These people wanted to shut down your businesses. They shut down your churches. These people themselves thought they were kings and acted like tyrants during COVID-19. These were the people that were yelling at you like tyrants. If you were at the hardware store and you weren't wearing a mask, where's your mask? Sorry, I don't speak Chinese. You know, these people are nuts. And now they want a virtue signal and act like they stand up against kings. I mean, give me a break. Maureen Cordoza had a great post. I think this was on the Cat Country Facebook. Normal folks have been celebrating a No King's Day since 1776. It's on the 4th of July every year. Jason Loveless, I think this one came from my Facebook page here. Let's talk about kings. The real kings are the ones who shut down your business, made you take a shot to keep your job, censored anyone questioning them, and controlled the media. And then Tad Brendan wrote this. Shared this meme here. I think it came from Cooper Wade Music on X. It takes a real idiot to march in a No Kings rally in a country you can only march in because it does not have a king. Ironic, Brian Fraser. Ironically, countries with kings don't allow any protests called No Kings Day. So there you go. We were talking about Glacier Country, and here we go. Our Visit Montana highlight for this week, you know, for about 6-7 weeks here, we're highlighting Montana's 7 tourism regions. And, you know, we were talking about Flathead Lake and Northwest Montana, all the mountains, all the lakes, all the scenery, you name it. Well, this week, as part of our tourism package, you've got a chance to win a tourism package provided by Glacier Country. Here's the Glacier Country giveaway package. One night stay at the Red Lion Hotel in Polson. You've got a gift certificate to the East Shore Smokehouse and a scenic flight tour with Blue Goose Aviation. But yeah, we're highlighting Glacier Country this week. You know, not only do you have Flathead Lake, you've got Lake Coconusa up there, that borders the Canadian border as well. I've actually gone to the U.S.-Canada border on a pontoon boat. You've got great fairs, rodeos, you name it, all across Glacier Country. And then plus, what about the Huckleberry themed, you know, fairs and festivals and so much more. Here's the deal, though. If you want to win or have your chance to win this week's Glacier Country Tourism Giveaway, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway. All right, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, we're going to have time to take your phone calls. Plus, I got to play the Kim Strassel soundbite from Fox News and the Wall Street Journal report on Saturday. She highlighted where all the money is coming from for these protests that Tim and Billings talked about.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montana isn't a big company state, yet we do have important businesses in our midst. Depending on where you live, you might be familiar with some. Conglomerates like Washington Corp, banks like First Interstate or Glacier, energy and mining companies, or even Northwestern Energy. Here's one that may have escaped your attention, Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes. The tribe is many things, but one of the things that's left off the list for many of us is the fact that it's a thriving business, or more accurately, the owner and operator of a range of businesses. There are businesses in manufacturing, power generation, finance, technology, and recreation. Some of those, such as S&K Technologies, have substantial footprints outside the region. Oh yes, CSKT is also a government, with schools, administrative departments, and road and law enforcement employees. Montana's 7 other tribes also have substantial business activities, but none match the breadth and scope of Salish and Kootenai businesses that hide from many of us in plain sight. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.